This is Cap and Company. Follow at the Capman on Twitter.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
So baseball's right around the corner. The NBA's in the bubble. The WNBA's in their bubble. The MLS is in their bubble. The NHL is starting training camps today and headed off to their bubbles. But will we get the most popular sport in America? The National Football League, and that leads us to a great friend of our show. He is Mike Tannenbaum. He's been a GM of two different teams. He's been an agent. He does great work for ESPN. And he's kind enough to join us here on Cap and Company. Mike, how are you, man? Everybody safe and healthy in your world?
Cap, we're doing great. Great to hear from you. I hope your break went well. And most importantly, I hope you're safe and sound.
Thank goodness. So far, everybody is A-OK. So Cam Newton, with some pretty critical comments of the whole process in the offseason, I felt like I've been blanked on and can't believe nobody signed me. And he ends up getting a deal, a very low-dollar deal for a caliber quarterback that he's been with the New England Patriots. Do you understand why the league left him sitting out there because of COVID-19, or was it because of the injuries?
I think it was really more of the injuries, you know, from a standpoint, Cap, of he's been hurt for a while. And here's something that people don't realize. Bill Belichick was the defensive coordinator of the New York Jets in 1998, and we signed Vinny Testaverde in June of 1998 on a one-year deal for very little money back then. And he brought us to the AFC Championship game, and then he hit a really, really big deal. And I'm sure Cam Newton saying to himself, Cap, that this is an investment. And, yeah, I didn't get what I wanted. But you know what? Like Testaverde or Tannehill a year ago when he goes from Miami to Tennessee, I could crush it if I play well.
And that could be the same thing for Nick Foles, right?
Absolutely. And I think Nick Foles is a great example of that. And I fully expect him to be the star for the Chicago Bears. And again, when you don't get what you want initially on a market cap, the word you have to use is, where can I invest in my future? And there's a lot of examples around the NFL. You know, years ago, Rich Gannon resurrecting his career with John Gruden out in Oakland. And there's a lot of examples. But I think Testaverde going back to 98 is interesting because again, Belichick was on that staff, and I think Cam Newton, with that offense, they could be very, very creative, strong defense. I think they're the favorites for the AFC East now.
So let me ask you a question, because they like Jared Stidham. I mean, I called a friend out there who covers the team. He said, let me just tell you something. Cam Newton, 4 years ago, yeah, he's amazing. We don't know what we're getting here. He said, I'm telling you, Belichick really likes Jared Stidham, and it's not an act. Does he have any chance of being the starting quarterback?
I think if Cam Newton's healthy, I don't. I think Stidham's a better player than people realize, and I think we just watched Coach Belichick's decisions count. We would have seen him, you know, pass on all those quarterbacks in this year's draft. We would have seen him pass on all these quarterbacks in free agency despite all the movement. There's obviously something there, because if we go back a year ago to last Labor Day, they cut Brian Hoyer and kept a then, you know, rookie from Auburn in Stidham. So he, I'm sure, does like him. But what my point is, let's say you're the Miami Dolphins, and you're going up to Foxborough on opening day this year. You have zero idea of what Josh McDaniels, the New England Patriot offensive coordinator, and Bill Belichick are going to do with a Cam Newton-led offense. And just think about, like, the direct quarterback runs. I've been very fortunate to work with some really good defensive coaches in my career. Bill Belichick, Rex Ryan, Bill Parcells, Eric Mangini. And 100% of the time, they will tell you they hate when quarterbacks can make plays with his feet, because it changes the spacing defensively, because now it's 11-on-11 football. And because of that, I think that's what's going to keep up opponents up at night if Cam Newton winds up being the starter.
So if we take what you just said and we extrapolate it to Chicago, we may not have any preseason games. Right now, I think we're hoping for two. Matt Nagy said, hey, if we have them, I'm going to change my philosophy. I'm going to play my starters and especially my quarterback battle. So Mitchell Trubisky has been organizing these 4- and 5-time-a-week workouts with Tariq Cohen and Allen Robinson and a whole bunch of these guys. Nick Foles, I believe his wife just gave birth, and so he hasn't been here. I know he's done a little bit of stuff with Cody White here. They were able to get together and work on a couple of things. Does that give Mitch a huge advantage if and only if there's no preseason?
I think so. Absolutely, you know, because continuity is going to matter, and obviously Trubisky's been there, even though, you know, there's a relationship that Foles has with, you know, the office staff there. But I think at the end of the day, as it relates to the Bears, I just think Foles is the better player, and this is a consequential year for not only Coach Nagy, but Ryan Pace, their general manager, and they're going to play the best player, and I don't think there's any question that Nick Foles is the better football player. So, barring something unforeseen, I think Foles is going to be the starter in Chicago.
The look around the league, and as you see Patrick Mahomes get $500 million, and everything I read said he actually did them a favor the way he allowed them to structure it, because it won't become as big a hamstring on their salary cap as it could have been. Do you harbor that same philosophy?
I do. I think actually the contract's a win-win. You know, he gets the security for his kids, which he richly deserves, cap. And when you look at the cap numbers, especially early on in the deal, they are reasonable. And to the extent that they can keep guys like Chris Jones, their talented defensive tackle, and then maybe we get into guys like Sammy Watkins a year from now, I think that's all positives. Now, with that said, at some point, those cap numbers are going to spike, and they're going to have to make, you know, very difficult choices. Those are great choices to have to make. So I do think Patrick Mahomes put his money where his mouth is, and certainly by going out 12 years on a 10-year extension, What that does say is, like, I don't need a second bite of the apple, because, you know, when this new TV deal comes in and what everyone perceives to be this incredible gambling revenue out there, once we get through the pandemic, you know, we could be talking about numbers that are just astronomical. And what he's saying is, I don't need another bite of the apple. I'm content being a Kansas City Chief.
Is he the best quarterback in the National Football League right now, today? If I said you can have one guy for the next year, not the next 10, the next year, is he the guy you're taking?
Not even close for second. It's him, and you could draw a line. We could have a great discussion about two, three, and four, but I don't think anybody would disagree that he is clearly the best quarterback in the league. And I said this on Get Up last week when the deal went down. You know, when you talk about how can someone get $500 million, Patrick Mahomes is really the perfect storm cap. He is high character. He's productive. He's talented. And his game really suits where the league's going. You know, he's an underrated athlete. So when you think about all the plays he can make with the feet, where the sport's going, face of the franchise, he checks every box. And, you know, Kansas City is lucky to have him. And I think what they did was really prudent. They were proactive to make sure that he never leaves.
You know, the amazing thing, we're talking with Mike Tannenbaum from ESPN. The amazing thing, Mike, when I looked this morning again, I went back to that 2017 draft, and obviously the Bears made the wrong pick of the three quarterbacks that they had evaluated. That's, you know, not breaking news here. But you look at the teams that were in that top 10 that needed quarterbacks, and a lot of them, the Cleveland Browns, left this generational, not like a good player, like generational talent sitting on the board. When you were sitting in draft rooms, even if you felt like, yeah, we're okay at quarterback, did you ever look and go, how the hell did we not take that guy?
Yeah, we were picking further down around that year. And, you know, we liked him. Obviously, we didn't see him as great as he turned out to be. And I think part of it, and at times, Cap, I will tell you, I've been as guilty of this, is there is a little bit of a herd mentality in scouting when it comes to saying, like, well, you know, you can look at that conference and you could say that, you know, there's very poor defenses and stats can be overblown there. And he had some, you know, plays that were, you know, let's just say a little reckless. And so it's easy to see, like, why he could slide. Now you take a half step back and clearly he should have been the first pick, you know, clearly of that year. You know, and I know Chicago made a mistake, but, you know, they certainly weren't the only ones. And it just, that whole conference and the stuff that came out of it, and you could also say, hey, how come Cliff Kingsbury didn't win more games with him? You know, that's another discussion you certainly could have, because he is so good and so talented.
if you were still running the Miami Dolphins, or if I installed you as the general manager of the Tampa Bay Bucks or the Jacksonville Jaguars or even Houston or Dallas, would you move your training camp out of a known hot spot, Arizona, if you were with the Cardinals? If you had one of those teams where it's like Florida's out of control, would you go, we're out of here, we're going to pack everyone up and we're going to go get our own bubble? Or would you roll the dice keeping them in your facility?
Yeah, I actually have experience with that. When I was a GM in the Jets, we actually went away to Cortland, New York, which is about 3.5-4 hours away, and I would absolutely move a team for a number of reasons. I would try to go someplace where I could replicate a bubble cap, you know, much the way we're seeing in Orlando with the NBA. And the other aspect of it, and I learned this from Rex Ryan, who absolutely nailed it, said, you know, we're going to leave, we're going to go up to Cortland, New York as a bunch of individuals, and we're going to come back as a team. And when you're away and all you have is each other, those are the great bonds that you form.
So did you also then at that time, and you may not have told the media back then, but you could tell us now, plan other things other than football? Because training camps, especially back in the day when you could practice twice a day and grind guys in 95-degree weather, did you plan team bonding activities, things we could do away from the football field that you're going to enjoy so that the experience top to bottom is better than maybe they expected?
Yeah, and it was scripted and unscripted. We were in Cortland, New York. All we had was each other. I mean, there wasn't much to do in, you know, upstate New York, and that's exactly what, you know, at the time Rex Ryan wanted. And again, it's just hard to put a premium on relationships and intangibles, and it's hard to do when you have camp at your facilities and you're going home to your family and your loved ones when, again, when you're away, all you have is each other. And I think for that 3 weeks, it's consequential. We had incredible successes coming out of those Cortland training camps. I think they really served its purpose. And I would certainly do it again for a variety of reasons, including the pandemic.
Because you see, some teams have pulled their, not because of the COVID-19. The Bears did this last fall, announced we're done going to Bourbonnais. We're going to do everything up in Lake Forest, and we obviously can't have 15, 20,000 fans at camp. We'll have very limited seating. The media will be allowed when we allow them in there. Do you think that's a trend pre-COVID and maybe post-COVID that teams are going to stay in their own facilities?
Yeah, it seems like that's where we're going, although there are some, you know, outliers, like, you know, I know Pittsburgh loves going away, Kansas City. So I do think that's a trend, and that's because these facilities are so good. You have everything there from rehab, training. It's hard to replicate that, but I do think going away where things are a little bit, you know, inconvenient, and it's all relative, I think that's okay too, you know, because then for the other 48 weeks of the year, Cap, you don't take these incredible facilities for granted. So I think there's some benefit there as well. And, you know, to the extent we're seeing that trend, I think at some point it'll go back the other way, and the traditionalists are saying, hey, getting out of here for 3 to 4 weeks is really healthy.
Before I let you go, and we're talking to Mike Tannenbaum, who's been a GM of two different teams, an agent, now works for ESPN on TV and radio. Before I let you go, as you look at taking over one of these teams, would you be, as a GM, boy, you're going to truncate my season, or we're going to have an abbreviated season, let's just not play? Or like baseball, I'll take whatever we can get.
Yeah, I'll take anything we can get. Look, as a fan of sport, as an agent, as a GM, as, you know, a member of the media, you know, we got the greatest sport in the community. And anything we can get will be great. And I do expect us to play. I think one thing we got to remember too, Cap, is the city of Tampa Bay can host the Super Bowl all the way into March. So if the season did start a little bit late, I wouldn't be shocked, and that's okay, because hopefully, let's face it, this another day we get closer to, you know, hopefully a vaccine. We'll know a lot more. We'll learn a lot from not only the NBA, but MLB. And hopefully the NFL will benefit from all those things, and we can have as much of a season as we can that's, you know, within reason, healthy, safe. And, you know, you and I are again on the phone once a week and talking about all the amazing things that should happen, you know, during an NFL season.
Appreciate all your time, man. Look forward to seeing you when you do get to Chicago.
All right, Cap. Really appreciate it. Stay safe. I appreciate it. Thanks.
You too. Have a great day. There he is, Mike Tannenbaum from ESPN. All right, we're going to get back into some Michael Kopech stuff. If you have a comment, question, thought on Michael Kopech, we would like to hear from you. 312-332-3776. This is Kappa Company. It's ESPN.
You're listening to Cap and Company. See what we're up to on Twitch.
At ESPN 1000 Chicago.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Hey, the baseball show is Chicago's only interactive nightly show focused on the Chicago Cubs, the Chicago White Sox, and all of Major League Baseball. It's hosted by the one and only, the awesome Jonathan Hood. Weeknights at 6. Podcasts will be available on our app daily as well. Welcome back on Cap and Company. Thank you to Mike Tannenbaum. Some real interesting stuff with him. It's still amazing to me to look at the 2017 draft. And yes, Ryan Pace messed up. Yes, the Bears took the wrong guy. We know all that. No question. How in the hell is a generational talent like Patrick Mahomes still sitting on the board for the Chiefs to get at number 10? It's absolutely astounding. Like, it's not like he's a good player. He's an amazing player and a wonderful guy with a father who was a major league pitcher. Like, the whole thing is too perfect. And people screwed it up, including the Chicago Bears. 312-332-3776. So we were talking about Michael Kopech. Let's go to the phones. People have thoughts. Don is in Rolling Meadows. Don, welcome to ESPN 1000.
Hey, how's it going?
How you doing, kid?
All right. Just to speak on his mental health, I know today a lot of people are, you know, going to point fingers at his pitching coach and say he shouldn't have said it. But at the same time, you also hear a lot of people that didn't say anything, and, you know, people are not here anymore because of it. So I think that it may be a positive thing where he can, you know, have someone reach out and, you know, just to check on his well-being, opposed as it to being a negative. What are your thoughts with that?
Well, I'm sure that they are in constant contact with him in terms of the front office. Look, Jerry Reinsdorf, he was involved in the meeting, according to James Fegan of The Athletic. He was there when Michael had his concerns. Jerry's very involved. And players that played for both the White Sox and the Bulls rave about the relationship they developed with the owner, whether it was Jim Thome, who ended up becoming a special assistant. Even Ozzie talks about what a great relationship he had and has again with Jerry Reinsdorf, even though they hit that rocky patch. I'm sure the White Sox are all over this situation, and maybe there is someone in Michael's life that has a health problem, and he feels like, you know what, that person's close to me. It's nobody's business. I'm not going to say who it is. I'm not saying me. I'm saying he's saying I'm not going to say who it is. But that combined with coming off Tommy John, with I'm not certain of my role because I'm not one of the top four guys right now because I'm recovering. There's just a whole bunch here. I just think he needs to know that he's got the support of the fan base. He's got the support of everybody, that no one's questioning him other than a guy like Tim on the south side. I don't question someone when they say, you know what, I can't do it.
Here's the problem with what Don Cooper did. The last caller, Don in Rolling Meadows, brought up Michael Kopech's mental health.
Yep.
Michael Kopech has been open about dealing with anxiety and depression. Bravo to him. I wish more people were open and honest about it. I think what Michael Kopech does in talking about it, he makes it normal. He makes it real. He lets people know that everybody's dealing with this. However, him opting out of the 2020 baseball season had nothing to do with his mental health. At least according to him, according to James Fegan's reporting, it was a bunch of different factors. But now, because Don Cooper felt the need to go to the Sun-Times and talk about how concerned he is over Michael Kopech, everybody's trying to relate this to his mental health issues, which is not fair to him. This is not, as far as we know right now, this is not a mental health issue with Michael Kopech. It's simply, we're dealing with a pandemic. that's going on in the world. He's got a lot of questions that need answers, and he just doesn't feel right playing baseball right now. That should be it. He shouldn't have to explain himself any more than that. I believe 19 players in Major League Baseball have decided to opt out. Michael Kopech is one of those 19.
Yeah, Buster Posey did.
But because he's been open and honest about anxiety and depression, and Don Cooper felt the need to blab his mouth, which he's done 1,000 times to the media in this city, now people are pointing fingers saying, well, does it have to do with his mental health issues? And that's just not fair to the young man.
So do you think that the instances like this are the reason that some people do not want to come forward and talk about mental health?
100%. Cap, yes, this is exactly why.
We're in a situation in this country, we are more than ever encouraging people, speak up. Don't keep it silent. We're all here to support you, and then someone will look at this and go, that's exactly why we don't speak up.
Well, and Cap, also factor in, this is someone who's an authority figure who is the direct report, right? Like, Don Cooper is the one in charge of the pitching staff, no? Like, that's the direct manager, and I know that Coop is underneath Ricky Renteria and then underneath Rick Hahn and so on and so forth. But like, if your direct manager is questioning you based on this decision, thus relating it back to your mental health stability, that's a dangerous precedent to set. That's exactly why, Cap, 100%. That's why people don't speak up and speak out, because they're afraid that someone who is above them may hold it against them.
Yeah, I'm just not as convinced as others that Coop was trying to do something nefarious here. I think
why didn't Coop just talk about COVID-19 then? I agree with everyone that I hope everyone's okay dealing with COVID-19. Why did Coop bring up depression? What is that
about? I believe Michael has talked about it before.
Yes, he has talked about it before. Was it in the White Sox statement that they released Friday on why Kopech was opting out of the season? Cooper's the one that said he's concerned that the kid is okay.
Here's another quote that shouldn't have been said. Quote from Don Cooper. Quote, I don't know what's going on with Michael, but I know he deals with some anxiety and depression. And my thought is, I sure hope he's okay. And I hope he gets to where he needs to be, where he's feeling good and wants to come back, because we will welcome him back with open arms. Right there, he's talking about his anxiety and depression. Even though when Rick Hahn announced on Friday that Michael Kopech was sitting out, no mention was made of anxiety and depression.
Yeah, that quote is directly related to that and not COVID-19.
Yeah, see, here's the one thing I would say to you. And again, I like Coop a lot. I've developed a nice relationship with him. We're not super close because I was always working on the other side of town, but I've had him on 1 billion radio and TV shows in my career, and I really, really like the guy. I truly, from what I hear that he and Kopech are close and that Don was simply just expressing, look, it's been out in the public domain that he has battled with some anxiety and depression. I hope that he's okay. I don't think he meant anything nefarious by it whatsoever. I don't. Now, if it's been addressed internally and they felt he shouldn't have said that, they know better than we do. I just don't think Coop had any type of thought that I shouldn't be saying this because people out there
already knew about it. Oh, yeah, that's the problem. Isn't that exactly the problem?
Yeah, I mean, until I hear from him or talk to him and find out what he said, I want to reserve judgment till I hear what his perspective was.
Well, I guess when I woke up on Sunday morning, getting ready for the show on Sunday morning, and I saw this as a story and I read the quotes, I was shocked that someone in the organization was saying this when the organization already spoke about this on Friday. Mm-hmm. And the way Rick Hahn handled it and the organization handled it on Friday, I thought was perfectly fine. It was well handled. I didn't know that we were then questioning the mental stability of the player who's sitting out because of COVID-19. I didn't know that that was something we were going to do, especially coming from within the organization.
Yeah, it is a situation that has become unfortunate because of what the comments were. It does not change the fact that publicly he's talked about it. I've watched tape of him talk about it on NBC Sports Chicago, and based on what we've now read, I hope the young man is okay, and I hope that everyone in his family is A-okay, and that he gets back, and when he does get back, he gets a standing ovation. Hey, man, we have got your back.
But why does something have – I think the point is, why does something have to be wrong with him? I mean, we're dealing with a global pandemic. There are players opting out just because they don't think it's safe. Hell, the best player in baseball, Mike Trout, is considering opting out. So,
if Trout opts out, are you going to question his mental stability?
No, but he's already talked about that he's got a wife who's pregnant, and he does not want to miss the birth of his child.
I think the point is, Michael Kopech chose not to play baseball this year. He chose global pandemic, COVID. You know what? I'm just not ready to roll. That should be enough. The fact that Don Cooper has made this into a bigger deal where now we're discussing why is he opting out? What's wrong with him? Is he okay? Is he mentally stable? Isn't fair to a young man who has the choice just not to play baseball because he doesn't think it's safe. We shouldn't be having this conversation today. And the only reason we are is because Michael Kopech has been honest about dealing with anxiety and depression. And now because he's opted out, people are making assumptions. And that's thanks to his pitching coach, whose job should be to protect him.
We will.
Or how about this, Cap? Why doesn't he reach out to Kopech if they're close, if he's so concerned? Reach out to the pitcher.
Maybe he has, and the pitcher doesn't want to talk to anybody. I don't know.
Well, perhaps maybe you shouldn't give the quotes to the Sun-Times on Saturday then.
All right, we will get more of your thoughts on this, but another bump in the road for the Cubs practice as well. That is coming up next.
Cap and Company.
Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. And ESPN _ Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
All right. Yeah. All right, welcome back. ESPN 1000. So while we've been talking a bunch about Michael Kopech, and we will get a Sox update from Chuck Garfine, we also have another hiccup at Cubs camp. Danny, why don't you fill us in on the latest goings-on with COVID tests?
Here we go again, ladies and gentlemen. Chicago Cubs manager David Ross and five other Tier 1 individuals, and Tier 1 are usually players and coaches, are still awaiting their completed COVID-19 test from Saturday. And because they don't have these results yet, will not be attending this morning's workout. So the manager of your Chicago Cubs can't attend his team's workout today because he doesn't have the results from his test taken on Saturday.
Okay, so here's my quick question. Did Jed Hoyer not say last week that we don't have a lot of them, but we have some of the rapid tests where they could tell right away positive or negative? Did he not say that?
I don't recall him saying exactly that. I know why they do the send-away test, because they don't want to take away tests from other people. And I believe he said, in an emergency situation, we could access one of those immediate tests. Yeah.
Yeah. So isn't this one of those situations when you're, what, like 12 days out from your first game?
I don't know. Like, I really appreciated Jed's honesty saying that we're not going to use those because there's more important people in the city of Chicago that need those than us. Let's be honest. What's David Ross really going to do today at practice that another coach couldn't do for him?
And here's another one. Could you just put him on one of the rooftops by himself?
And give him a megaphone.
Right. A megaphone, or have him on like on a big speaker down on the field. But he's talking into his phone.
MLB's really got a problem here. This keeps happening where you have teams pushing back practices, changing the times of practices, canceling practices. They've got to figure this out. If this test was taken Saturday and only six guys, it's David Ross and five other people, don't have their results, how does that happen? Like, how do these five people not have their results, but the rest of the team does?
Let me ask a question. When this happened last week, wasn't it coming off of the weekend?
Correct.
So now this is a second time.
It was coming off the 4th of July.
They blame
weekend.
The holiday.
Yeah, it was still a weekend, though. So, you know, I wonder if there's something with the shipping process and getting it turned around over the course of the weekend to why we're seeing this on Monday and Tuesdays. And to Danny's point, that's interesting because 11 days away from opening day, I wonder if this is going to be something that we're going to have to see. Like, Monday and Tuesdays, sometimes for the Cubs or the White Sox, half the roster is not available because the test didn't return. because the testing protocols over the weekend are delayed. They're lagged.
So I talked to Dr. Citrenberg, who we've had on the show many times, and we'll get him back again soon with everything ramping up. The NBA bubble is already going, the WNBA, the women's soccer, the men's soccer, MLS, and we have hockey coming up, and then football around the corner. So we've got all of this going on, and Rob said to me, the doctor, that one of the things that he has a problem with MLB is that there are certain ways that you are contagious if you've had COVID-19, but the way baseball's written their rules, that if you don't have two completely negative tests in a 72-hour span, you can't come back. He said, there are some human bodies that are going to keep very small fragments of the virus in the body, even though you're no longer sick and no longer contagious. And based on the way they're writing it, you can't come back. You could be gone for 3 months because you can't get the next negative test, even though you're not contagious. Do you know what I'm saying? So that for me is a concerning thing as well. We'll see. 312-332-3776. Let's go back to the phones. We got a bunch of callers. Let's go to Jeff in Skokie. Hey, Jeff, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm not here to hate on Kopech. It's his decision at the end of the day, whatever is the reasoning behind his decision. I would like to correct, because Danny keeps on saying it's because of COVID. It is not solely because of COVID. It's because of the situation that COVID has presented itself is the reason why he doesn't want to ramp up. And I get it. It's your body. You know your body more than anybody else. My only concern is from the fan standpoint, we gave up the best pitcher we've ever had to get this guy. It'll be 3 years since he's pitched in live action by the time, assuming he pitches and starts with us on our opening day, on the opening day rosters next year. We're going to be going on year three since he's last pitched. And if he's okay with this decision, then that's fine. But if he does plan to continue his career, with whatever, he's got to understand, his development's going to be slowed. It's going to be delayed. That's the only concern. And as a fan, I've just been waiting for this guy because I think he can be the best pitcher in baseball if he reaches his potential. And it's a sucky situation, but it's one of those things where I hope this isn't just him. I hope everything is fine with him mentally, 100%. But this is a tough sport. It's a tough position to play, and if you do have those kinds of issues, it's a very tough position being an MLB pitcher to play.
Appreciate your call, Jeff. Thanks a lot. Yes, baseball is so much of a mental game, and this meeting that he had with Rick Hahn and with Jerry Reinsdorf and with the assistant GM, where he laid out concerns coming back from Tommy John and COVID-19, all these different things. Look, when he feels he's ready to play, who are we to question whether he's ready to play or not? Because I could tell you, we all questioned Derrick Rose when the doctor said, you've been cleared to play. And he went, I just don't feel right. I don't trust it. And of course, he didn't come back. He got buried by all of us. And that's the guy I walked up to last year and said, hey, dude, you were right. I was wrong. You were right. I was wrong. We can't live in your body. And if you mentally don't feel right or there's some doubt in your mind, God bless you. And I feel the same for Michael Kopech. If he's not ready for whatever reason, he deserves all the support that he can get from his teammates, his fan base, all of it. 312-332-3776. Jameson is in Darien, wants to talk COVID test. Jameson, good morning.
Morning. Hey, I just want to say, let's just expect this whole thing to be complete and total chaos. That's what the owners want. We knew that from the start. They're not going to take care of it. They're not going to do it the right way. They probably want the season to end as soon as possible, and this is the best way to do it, and they can just wash their hands of it. And second of all, with Kopech, man, if I'm a Cubs fan, I'd give Quintana for him, whether he plays or not. I don't even care if he plays next season. I'd rather have that guy than Quintana. Thanks.
Appreciate your call. Number one, the White Sox aren't trading Michael Kopech for Jose Quintana, who's a free agent at the end of the year. That's A. B, I completely disagree with your perspective that the owners want chaos and want to end this as quickly as they can. The owners would like to find a way to get to the postseason and make back some of their, as Tom Ricketts put it, biblical losses, if you want to believe that. I disagree. I think they're trying to do all they can to keep their players safe, to do things the right way, and we'll just find out if we can pull this all off because COVID's a real thing. Despite what people in Wisconsin, up in the north part of Wisconsin, said to my neighbor over the weekend when he was there, COVID a thing down there? It's not a thing up here. Yeah, well, you better get with the program because a lot of states are spiking. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Let's grab quickly John in Schaumburg. Hey, John.
Hey, Cab. How you doing, man?
How you doing, kid?
Good, good. I think, you know, I'm not a Sox fan, so this Kopech thing doesn't really affect me. But what you just said about the Derrick Rose situation is exactly why people got to lay off this guy, right? Like, everybody murdered Derrick Rose and the media, and, I mean, even fans did. And now I think there's a lot of remorse towards that because we see what has actually, you know, transpired with this man's body and career after the fact. So, you know, I'm not a Sox fan, but hey, if Kopech doesn't feel ready to go, whether it's COVID-related or mental issues or health, he's not ready to go. Let him go. You know, you rush him out there, and then all of a sudden you have a Derrick Rose situation on your hands again. I don't think Chicago needs that.
Yeah, look, whether you're a Cubs fan, Sox fan, fan of another baseball team, if this guy doesn't feel comfortable playing, whether he's Buster Posey, who's won three rings and made, I don't know, $150 million, or a guy who has not accomplished anything in the big leagues yet, he deserves everyone's support for whatever reason he is choosing to not play in 2020. 312-332-3776. We'll continue with more of your calls because we've got a lot of them. Your thoughts on Michael Kopech. Yu Darvish said, I came to Chicago, wanted to see if they were serious. Otherwise, I'd have gone home. He liked what he saw. We'll get your thoughts all coming up next. Hey, this hour brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois. Through life's ups and downs and for all the journeys ahead, you know what to bring. The card you can count on, Blue Cross, Blue Shield of Illinois, through it all.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Rolling on ESPN 1000. Phone lines are hopping. Great to be back. I don't get to see Danny and Chris, except I did make a FaceTime call so that I could talk to the boys this morning because Mayor Lightfoot said, don't come in the city if you're coming from one of 15 states where COVID-19 has started to spike. I was in one of those states, socially distanced, being smart, but rules are rules, and I am going to follow them. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Let's go back to the phones. Danny and Schaumburg, what's going on there, Sparkles?
Hey, Bob, how are you?
All good, kid. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, you could probably just go get a COVID test and then see you don't have it and go to the studio. I mean, who cares what she said? But I digress.
She's the mayor. She makes the rules. I'm going to follow them.
Yeah, unfortunately. Anywho, did you see your boy in practice yesterday bat flipping his own pitcher?
Yeah, I thought it was awesome.
In a scrimmage, he's bat flipping.
What?
In team workouts, he's bat flipping his pitcher.
Okay, why do you? Why do you have a problem with that?
Because it's stupid. It's your own teammate. Act like you've been there, right? He's such a good guy in the room.
Oh, my God.
He's had half a good season.
Danny, when did you have your 73rd birthday? I mean, come on, man.
It's about respect.
Oh, stop respect. Get the guy out then. Lighten up. He's having fun.
He's got the swag. You know what my swag is next time? High chin music. High chin music right to the jaw.
No, your swag should be, guess what? I just struck you out. Take that, Tim Anderson. And I think he'd laugh. In fact, I know he would because I've asked him. He said,
are you going to ask Chucky Garfine what the other players think of his swag and backflipping in a, a team workout?
Yes, I will ask Chuck when he's on in 6 minutes. I will ask Chuck that question for you, but I've got no problem with it. No problem. I think it was Garfine awesome.
Lives in my hood, actually. I've seen him out and about. I digress.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's just, I think, what do you always say? Come on, you're better than that. Act like you've been there.
Yeah, I literally do not have a problem that he bat flipped. Tim is a great guy. He is a great teammate. His teammates love him. He bat flipped because he got a home run. And you and Fred Huebner, jeez.
Oh, Freddie Boom Boom's my guy. Hey,
I love Freddie Boom Boom, but you both are dead wrong here.
Cap, any magic in the desert?
Any magic in the... No, I don't... Or they're playing down in Orlando. I didn't see any of the
No,
magic.
You, bro.
Dude, I make magic every night. Come on.
Ooh.
You're better than that, Pacey. Come on.
All right, have a good week, my man.
See you, kid. There you go. That's our guy, Danny and Schomburg. Love him. 312-332-3776. Tracy in Naperville. Hey, Trace, okay. What's up?
How you doing, sir?
All good, kid. What's on your mind?
Just want to talk to you about that Michael Kopech. I'm not a Sox fan either, but I'm partial to the Cubs. And what I'm trying to find out is anybody thinking that this pitcher for the White Sox might be another Mitch Trubisky?
In what way?
Well, he's had this is going on his third year, I believe, in being drafted. And Mitch, is third, fourth year, and he hasn't turned out yet. So it could be a possibility that your pitcher is not what he should be either.
Well, and we appreciate your call. Thanks again, man. Have a great day and a good, healthy, safe week. Look, this kid has all the tools, and I know they say that about Mitch. I've been saying that as well. He's got great athleticism and a good arm, and he's great in a room, and he's a good lead, all of that, and it hasn't turned out that he has been a very good quarterback in the National Football League. Michael Kopech throws 101 miles an hour. Michael Kopech was a sought-after prospect in deals, and it took Chris Sale to get him to be part of that trade. I get all of that. Right now, let's not pass any judgments. He's coming back from a Tommy John, and let's see where this whole thing goes. This is uncharted territory for everybody. And if he's not comfortable, we don't know what his family situation is like. We really don't. So let's just let this play out, and let's see where he is, and let's show the kid all the support in the world so that if he feels like it's time to play, then let's do it. But if he doesn't, who are we to question him? John on the north side of our great city. Hey, John, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning.
What's up, buddy?
So this might, hit a little closer to home for those of us that have kids or, significant others that are teachers. But with all these COVID testing going on for, the big sports every 2 days, every 3 days, the Cubs aren't getting their tests back. What do you feel like, is going to happen when school gets back in session? Are teachers and kids going to get tested equally? Like, why are all these tests going towards athletes that are within this bubble and not, towards the rest of us that they have kids or parents?
John, appreciate your call. So what Major League Baseball did, they did not take tests from anybody. They hired a private firm in Utah, and that's where all the tests are sent to. And they contracted with them, and that's a service that they provide. They didn't say, hey, we need whatever number of thousands of tests for the Cubs and White Sox every other day. We're going to test all our players and all our staff. They didn't do any of that. They took and said to this company in Utah, okay, this is what you do for a living. You do different types of testing. Can you do a COVID test? and we'll pay you X number of dollars, whatever the fee was. It's millions and millions of dollars, and everything is flown overnight. They test it. They get the results back to them as fast as possible. It should be faster. Why it's not, I don't know. But they are not taking tests from other people. I've asked that question as well. All right, we have to get a quick break. We're back in 2 minutes with Chuck Garfine, our guy, and NBC Sports Chicago White Sox insider. Next.